So a few announcements before the homily. A reminder that right after Mass, we go right into adoration. I hope you can stay for adoration. I know some of our parishioners who are not able to leave their homes because of their health are tuning in by live stream. I think that's great that people can tune in and participate spiritually in this opportunity to be with the Lord. Adoration goes until 3:30, in which case we have benediction. Confessions after Mass will continue, and of course they go to 1:30. So if you're needed the sacrament right after Mass, again, I'll be in the confessional till around 1:30. So what a wonderful opportunity. Attend Mass, receive Holy Communion, adore the Lord, truly present the Eucharist, and receive the absolution of your sins, right? I tell you guys, it's great being Catholic. All this in heaven too. So I hope you avail yourselves of these opportunities. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I want to go back to the encounter that Jesus had with Martha and Mary. So you recall, he goes to their home. Lazarus is his friend. Martha and Mary are his friends. And he arrives, and Mary is giving all her attention to the Lord Jesus, sitting at his feet, just listening to him. Martha is preparing in order to welcome this guest, to prepare for all the demands of hospitality. And you have to love just Martha's transparency. Because eventually she goes to the Lord and she's like, do you not care? Do you not care that my sister's not helping me? You can imagine she's like saying to this rabbi, like, what's your problem? Like, you know, shouldn't you be telling my sister to help me? Oh, kind of a loud mouth, but transparent. Keeping it in her heart. What does the Lord tell her? Mary's chosen the better portion. And then what does Martha do? Well, she goes back to the kitchen. Who does he think he is? Oh, he's just all big and bad now. I'm the one fixing everything in the kitchen. He's got it all together. Then she goes out with her little bridge club, right? She's telling everybody, you know what he said to me? Oh, I'm going to email him. She starts emailing the high priest in Jerusalem. You know what he said? Blah, blah. Right, that's what Martha did, isn't it? No. In fact, Martha displays for us how we are supposed to receive correction as Christians. It's hard to be corrected. When we realize I made a mistake, or that could have been done better, or I shouldn't have been the one to do that. And oftentimes in our culture, we are taught because we're so soft, and when someone corrects us, it's their fault. I love when someone says, well, yeah, okay, they were right, but you know, they shouldn't have said it like that. Well, you know, that's really not your judgment. Were they right? Yes. Were you wrong? Yes. Then fix it. Use all that energy to change yourself, rather than to destroy the one who's trying to help you. Martha understood that. She accepted the correction of the Lord Jesus. And because of that, we know from sacred tradition, she moved on to become a great saint herself and grew in immense holiness, which is why today we honor her as a saint. I think that should give us great encouragement that she received a direct rebuke from the Lord Jesus. And she was wrong. He called her on it. You would think after that, like, man, that's it. It's over. It's a done deal. Going to hell, right? You know? But not at all, because our Lord is kind and merciful. He corrects so that he can show compassion. He guides so that he can bestow grace. Martha was willing to accept that. I think so oftentimes in the spiritual life, one of the real signs of spiritual maturity is when we're able to accept correction. I know whenever a correction hurts or stings in my spiritual life, it's a sign that I need to go to confession, pray more, and start realizing that the world isn't supposed to revolve around me. Were they right? Yes. If I listen to them, am I made a better person and a better Christian? Yes. Then it's time for me to die to my pride and accept the correction in order to grow in holiness. Martha understood that. I want to encourage us to grow in that. Because we become so convinced that we are the center of the universe, that our opinion is the best, whatever we do is the best way to do it. And I love how everyone just becomes armchair shepherds, huh? Everyone knows everything now, right? Everyone knows how everything's supposed to be run. I think we can all fall into that, even this priest. Which is why at some point I just said, you know what, I really don't know. And so it's better to just trust leadership. They're the ones who will have to answer to God for their decision. And rather than constantly re-question and challenge and think I know everything, to instead die to myself in that pride, to accept what leadership is saying, and try to be a part of the team in order to be a part of the solution. That's what we're called to do as Christians. whether that's in your marriages, your homes, your neighborhoods, your workplaces, or even here at the parish. What do we do when someone corrects us? I love when people say, I'm not perfect. And then you say, yeah, you're really not. You know, you're a terrible gossip. But, who do you think you are? I thought you just said you weren't perfect. Right? I'm trying to help you in order to grow in holiness. And I hope that you also help me to grow in holiness. The fact that fraternal correction has been abandoned in the life of the church is a great loss. This is why so many people think they're sinless. Oh, Father, I don't go to confession. I have nothing to confess. Yeah, I can help you with that. You want it alphabetically or chronologically, right? But as soon as I try to help you, what do? Become the biggest gossip mongers in the area, huh? What do? Threaten. I'm going to write the bishop. Write the bishop. I'm going to tell him all about you, all right? What happens? Where have we lost fraternal correction? Do we understand that this is meant to help us to grow in holiness? That this is an opportunity for us? Do you know, according to sacred tradition, spouses should regularly offer correction to one another? I know some of the husbands are like, my wife's got that one down pat, right? You can laugh later. It's okay. But we're supposed to regularly offer correction to one another. First of all, it helps in our humility. Secondly, it allows us to grow in charity. We begin to realize, gosh, I really am a work in progress. Today, I'm very edified by Martha. She accepted that correction. She was a busybody. Do you know, if we're not careful, we can become busybody. Our culture rewards activism. And the first casualty of activism is the spiritual life. I know people in ministry, even ordained ministry, who work tirelessly for the sake of the kingdom, but they have forgotten the kingdom that they're working for, who work so full of effort and so zealously for God. But I don't know if they have really fed or nurtured their soul, if they know the God that they so faithfully serve. We have to be careful as Christians. If we're going to do the work of God, we have to know God. That means in the midst of all the work that we do, we have to pause. I'll give you a personal testimony as an encouragement. When people visit my rectory, one of the things they comment, and rarely do people come to my rectory, when people come to my rectory, they say, there's such a spirit of peace here. That's because I offer my Mass there. That's where I do spiritual reading. That's where I pray. If I stop doing the work that I do in the rectory spiritually, then all this other active stuff that we do isn't worth a pile of beans. God doesn't need us. Do we think that we're actually building our kingdom, his kingdom, by our own efforts? We are able to build his kingdom because he has blessed us with his spirit. And we receive his spirit by an abundant and rich spiritual life. So dear friends, if you're not praying, start today. Let Martha be the one to correct you. How about that, huh? And let Martha be the one to say to you, choose the better part. Draw close to the Lord Jesus, dear friend. Know God. And then, yes, work tirelessly, zealously. As I said before, if you're not a little exhausted in serving the Lord, you're not doing this right. But the prophets tell us you will run and not grow weary because we have the strength of God. And that strength is found in an abundant and rich spiritual life.